Good singing, ladies. I'm telling you, it's in the storm when you better believe him.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
A lot of people believe him when the sun's shining.
Right.
And everything's all right. Amen. Well, boy, it's in them storms when you better hold on and you better have some faith. Because the storms are coming. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody has trials and everybody has troubles, but I'm glad in ours we have Christ. Amen? Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 15 tonight. I'm not on. I am too. Can't hear it? You turn me up a tad, brother? John chapter number 15. Is that better? John chapter number 15. Y'all glad you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
I preached this message, or a form of this message, some time ago. And we were in church at Levi's on Sunday night. And Brother Matt preached the message out of Exodus 21 about the servant. And about how he made that statement, I love my master. And that's important. A lot of people that know don't love him. They give a lip service and say they love God, but their life shows something totally different. Mine has at times, and I'm sure yours has too. Amen. But in that message, Brother Matt talked about how our hearts can wax cold. I wonder how many of you as Christians, you've been saved a while, and you could be honest and say there have been some times when my heart just got cold. Now, we don't believe you can get unsaved. Once you're born, you're born. Amen. You can't get unborn.
Amen.
Are we okay? But you can get backslidden and you can get cold. And that thing has been bearing on my mind ever since Sunday night. And I want to talk about why or how we get cold. And a lot of times we think about it's because of what we do. But maybe it's because of what we do not do. There are sins of commission. Those things that we do. But then there are sins of omission. Those things which we leave out and we do not do. I want to be able to say honestly from my heart, like Brother Matt the other night, I love my master. I want to say that and mean it and not it just make good preaching. I want to not just say it with my mouth, but I want to be able to say it with my life. I want the Lord to look at me and the way I live and go, that guy loves me. That guy loves me. It's not enough for me to stand up here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But boy, if Jesus could look at me and say, oh, how he loves me. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Now don't just stay with me just for a second. I hadn't got this all figured out. I don't think Jesus is sitting in heaven every day, Father, and going, oh, but I want to. Amen. And as hard as I try, I'm like Paul in Romans chapter number 7, I fail. But when you fail, don't quit. Get up and go again. But I want to show you some things tonight from number 4 with me, if you will. John chapter 3, and I in you, in the vine, in me, and ye are. He that abideth in him, the Son of God, ye can do nothing. Branch, and you're the vine. I don't know if you know anything about grapevines. I surely don't. I know how to pick them and eat them, and I'll sure eat the jelly when somebody makes it. Amen. But if you take one of those vines and cut that vine off, that vine is separated from that branch. Is it still a grapevine? Answer me. It's still a grapevine, just as sure as the world. It's still a grapevine. But it's not going to produce, it's not just going to produce a bad thing, it's going to produce nothing because it's not connected to the vine. Now, when I got saved, I became a vine. I may not be a big vine, but I'm a vine. And when you got saved, you became a vine. But I believe a lot of times we disconnect ourselves from the branch. What was that Brother Matt said the other night? He said, what was it he said? Something about the church not being entertaining. He said, neither is your TV if it's not plugged in.
Yeah.
I like that. I think church is entertaining. I get a lot out of it. What do you mean by entertaining? I mean I get enjoyment out of the church. I get enjoyment out of the church. I enjoy this as much or more than I do anything else. Them ladies getting up here singing, I Believe God, that entertained my soul. That captivated my heart and my attention. That is entertaining. But for you to enjoy that, you got to be plugged into the branch. Amen. Now Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. I think a lot of times our problem is the reason we lose our love or our love waxes cold. I mean, deep down in our heart, we really love Him. We really do. But I'm afraid sometimes we love other stuff more. Would you agree? Other stuff gets bigger in our life. I remember a time as a Christian. Now, I wouldn't openly say it, but in my life and my actions showed that I loved my bass boat more than I loved my Savior. I used to tell our teenagers all the time, I'll tell you who you love the most. Who do you talk to the most? Do you talk to God as much as you talk to your boyfriend or girlfriend on the phone? Amen. Amen. That's a pretty simple question, isn't it? When I ask you tonight, where are you abiding? We must, to abide means where you stay, means where you live. Are you living in Christ every single day? Now, you're saved every single day. But are you living in Christ every single day? And I want to talk, give you some steps and talk about how we can abide in Christ. I want to abide in Him. I do. I want my life to be a testimony to the Lord that I love Him. And if I love Him, there's some things. That relationship requires some maintenance. My wife and I have been married 31 years. We've had some rocky roads and some dark days, and we've had some storms that we've weathered, but we have abided in one another. We have made up our mind and said, I'm staying with you come you know what or high water. Y'all okay? Is it okay to say that? I'm staying with you no matter what until death. Until death. There's some of those vows I told Brother Anthony today. I said, you may have to preach on that. And then he didn't say nothing for a second. I said, yeah. I said, you may have to preach on that. He said, I remember I told her, for better or worse. The girls kept telling him to go home and get some sleep. And he said, Brother Eddie, they want me to go and get some sleep, but I can't. I said, I understand that. I'm not going to tell you to go rest. I said, you can rest when it's over. He said, I told her, for better or worse. I said, you are sickness and in health. That's what he said. I said, you may have to preach that. Amen. But I told my wife, for better or worse, I said, I'm staying with you. Listen, our problem with our love waxing cold is where we are abiding. Now, don't you think about it seriously tonight. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you making sure that your vine is connected to the branch every morning when you wake up out of bed? What's on your mind when you wake up? Is it your coffee? Is it what the day holds in front of you? Or do you wake up and say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for another day. I pray you'd walk with me today. Help me to do right. Help me to please you. Amen. I'm going to give you some steps tonight, and we're going to turn some scriptures. You can go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. I'm going to give you some ways that will help you to abide in Christ. And if we're falling short in many of these, we're not doing very well at abiding in Christ. Hebrews chapter number 13. 13. Did I say 3? I apologize. Hebrews chapter number 13. Well, this is just real simple stuff tonight, but I believe it'll help you. And if we had put these things, aren't you glad God didn't make the Christian life very complicated? A lot of these preachers get up and they want to make it sound like it's some far-fetched thing that only the elite can attain. But I'm telling you, even a 9-year-old boy like my grandson wanting to preach on the way home from church can abide in Christ just as easily as I can. Probably more easy. Are you listening? Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. By Him therefore let us offer, watch this, the what? The sacrifice of praise to God. Say the next word. Continually.
That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. If we're going to abide in Christ, we are going to have to rejoice every day of our lives. He said, rejoice in Him. How often? He said, continually. Continually. I wonder how many of you rejoice today. I stood on my back porch with my one hand on my cell phone, one hand in the air, and tears running down my face as I talked to Brother Anthony on the phone, and me and him just stood there and give God the glory, him in Philadelphia and me here, and we just praised and worshiped God. Hey, we ought to rejoice in Him every day. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I had a bad day. Yeah, you still got something to rejoice about. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you have reason to rejoice. Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. I think rejoicing, it's hard to be down in the dumps when you're praising God. Amen. He said that rejoicing was the fruit of our lips. Everything about us produces something. Would you agree? Our lips produce fruit. Our lips. Remember what he said? If you're in me and I'm in you, you're going to produce fruit. And a lot of times when we think about fruit, we're thinking about another Christian. And that is fruit. Don't get me wrong. But the fruit of being in the vine or connected, the vine being connected to the branch, is not just other Christians. It's in our life. A hard time having the right spirit. Get connected. Get connected. Get connected. It's hard to have a bad spirit and bitterness when you're worshiping God. Amen. We've got something to thank God for every day. When you roll out of bed in the morning, suck in a little bit of His air and say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Rejoicing. I wonder how many of us have rejoiced today. Honestly, ask yourself that question in your heart. How many of us have rejoiced to the Lord today? I'd like to say I rejoice in the Lord every single day. But there's days I don't. But boy, I'm guaranteed those days I don't, they would have been better days if I had of. They would have been better days if I had of. I was driving down the road earlier today. I had to run an errand and a song came on the radio and I just got to rejoicing. Man, that song was blessed my heart. And I just got to rejoicing and praising God. You know what? He enjoys that. The Bible said He inhabits our praise. He inhabits our praise. In other words, when we start rejoicing and praising Him, He shows up. He'll get in the truck with you. You say, I don't believe that. Start rejoicing. Start rejoicing Him on the way to work. How many of you ever got to rejoicing and praising God on the way to work and missed your road? Just flat forgot where you was at and where you was going. I mean, I've come to myself and thought, where am I at, man? I'm going to be late for work. The Lord said it'll be okay in this case. Amen. Amen. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Now, He said, let us offer. He didn't just say, let us offer our praise. He said, let us offer the sacrifice of our praise. Amen. It's not always easy to rejoice. Rejoicing's not always an easy thing. I mean, truly from the heart. I believe a lot of us have learned how to fake it over the years. We know when to shout and we know when to say amen. And hey, but listen, real rejoicing from our heart. Sometimes our heart don't feel like rejoicing. Sometimes our heart becomes overwhelmed by the storm that's around us, like Paul in that ship that they sang about. But somebody got in the ship with Paul in the storm and told him everything was going to be okay. He said, you're going to lose the ship, but everybody's going to be all right. And Paul jumps up and said, hey, be of good cheer. And they thought, who is this nut in the middle of this storm? Are you listening?
Right.
We abide in the branch. We abide in Christ by rejoicing. By rejoicing. We ought to rejoice every day. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't think rejoicing always has to be loud. I think most time it does. It's hard to rejoice quietly. Amen. It gets to bubbling up in you. It'll show up somewhere. Amen. Little girl in Sunday school asked the teacher, said, if God's so big and I'm so little and He's in me, won't He stick out somewhere? Amen. He needs to be sticking out on us. Amen. Take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 4. Hey, listen, we abide in Christ by rejoicing. Let's not be slack in our rejoicing. Somebody ought to make up your mind, make you a note right now. Take an ink pen, write it in the palm of your hand, rejoice. Make sure you rejoice and give God thanks and praise for something tomorrow. You say, yeah, I'm facing a trial right now. Well, think about what he's already done.
Yes,
amen. Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse number 6. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
We abide in the branch by rejoicing, but we also abide in him by making our requests being made known to him. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In verse number 7, he said, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Everybody wants to quote verse 7, but they leave verse 6 out. Are we okay? Everybody wants to quote verse 7 and say, oh, the peace of God will pass, which passes all understanding, going to keep your hearts and your mind. Hey, listen, what about verse number 6, which comes before it? He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request. And the peace of God comes after the prayer. Is that right? The peace of God comes after the prayer. So every day we ought to rejoice and we ought to request. I think every Christian ought to have a prayer life of some sort.
Yes, sir.
I don't think a day should go by without us talking and communing with our Savior. Should never a day go by. Hey, listen, I travel a lot. I go out of town and leave out, get on a plane. And we're going up to Ark. That's one of Brother Harvey's churches up there. I'll be away from my wife for 3 days. But I promise you, those 3 days, I will talk to her probably not once, but probably 3 times every day. I'll call her when I get up. I'll call her in the middle of the day. And I'll call her when I'm on my way to church. I dare not call her on my way home because of the time difference. Probably wouldn't be a pleasant conversation. But I'll talk to her, even though I'm away from her. Amen. And we ought to talk to God every day, no matter where we are. Every day. We ought to start our day with prayer every morning. It doesn't have to be this whole prayer sheet. It doesn't have to be this whole prayer list. It ought to be sometime during the day. But every morning, we ought to start with communing with the Lord. Amen. James chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse number 15, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ephesians chapter number 6, you can turn to that one right quick. Say amen when you get to Ephesians. Look at verse number 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He said praying how often? Always. Always. I'm telling you, this is how we abide in Christ. We abide. You cannot have a relationship with somebody and not have any communication. You can't keep a right relationship with someone that you don't talk to. Amen. Listen, if you run into somebody that you hadn't talked to in years, all you have to talk about is the past. That's all you have to talk about. Am I right? But boy, if you spend every day together, you have to talk about. You got lots to talk about. My wife and I last night, we laughed till we hurt. Man, we got that text from Ashley where she said, obey the Lord and your parents and trust Captain America. You know, I mean, boy, I'm telling you, we got stuff to talk about. We experience and share the same interest and the same love in life. And when you experience and share the same love with Christ every day, you have lots to talk about. Amen. So we ought to pray and we ought to make our requests made known to God every day of our life. How do we abide in the branch? How do we abide in Christ and He in us? Rejoice. Rejoice. You start rejoicing, He'll show up. He'll show up. You fail to praise Him, His presence will seem a million miles away, even though He's there. Amen? Do you think it's possible for two people to live in the same house and not have a relationship? I'm not talking about a 80-year-old couple. I'm talking about a younger couple. They lived in the same house. They had been sleeping in separate bedrooms for months. Were they still married? Yeah. But they slept in separate bedrooms. The wife and the children ate at the table. He ate on the couch. Had no relationship whatsoever. She was still his wife. She was still his wife, but they had no relationship. It's possible for Christ to live in your heart and you have no relationship with him. That's how our love waxed cold. Jesus told the church in Revelations, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Everything in life begins to take precedence over him. We've got to be careful about that. So make sure every day we rejoice and we make our request. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you want to. Proverbs chapter number 3. If you've been saved very long, you can probably quote it. It'd be good if you'd look at it. Proverbs chapter number 3. We said rejoice and request. These are things we ought to do every single day. Listen, we have developed habits in our life. My mother started instilling some good habits in me at an early age. At first, I did not like them. I hated brushing my teeth before I went to bed. Any of you boys like that? I hated it. I remember going in there and running water over it and putting it back in the thing. She'd tell me, she'd run my bath and go in there and tell me to take a bath. I'd go in there and splash some water on my face. And I'd come out and have that ring around my neck. She'd say, and I learned real quick, it's a whole lot better if I give myself a bath than if she does it. My mama could take an ordinary everyday washcloth and make it become 80 grit sandpaper. That brown ring around my neck would be blood red, boy. Amen. She taught me some good habits, but they had to be developed. Amen. And we need to develop some good habits in our Christian life. If you'll do it every day, if you'll rejoice every day, make yourself praise the Lord every day. Make yourself pray every day. Say, okay, I've got to pray. I've got to pray. It won't be too long before that thing will become a habit. And if you go to bed without it, you'll miss it. Amen. But if I don't hear my wife's voice every day, buddy, it just grieves my heart. Her voice. Amen. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Standing in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy mind. We need to request. We need to develop as a house, and we need to rely. To rely. You've heard this scripture 1,000 times. You've heard it over and over and over. But do we really rely on God every day? Or do we rely on what we can do and what we can make work and what we can make happen? Or do we really trust him every single day? We're all going to have situations come in our lives and we want to say, oh, I just gave it to God. Did you really? Or did you come pray about it and take it back to your seat with you? Did you go home as worried and fretful as you did when you got here? Amen. And this stuff is easy to preach and it's easy to teach and it's easy to say. It's something else to do. I think it's developed. That song Sister Ashley and Todd and them sing, I believe it says something like, when I first started walking with the Lord, I did not really trust him. Now, boy, most of us wouldn't want to say that. When I first started walking with the Lord, I did not really trust him. But then it gets down to that part where it says, but now I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. I think trust is developed. Levi wrote that song a while back, you can trust Jesus. You can rely on him. Eddie wants to get in the way. I want to get in the way and I want to fix this and I want to fix that and I want to look at people and say, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to do, here's what... I need to say, wait a minute, what does God want? God wants us to say, hey, I fully trust you 100%. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but whatever it is, God, I believe it'll be your will. Amen. We need to rely on God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We doing okay tonight? 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're talking about abiding in him. And there's no way we can truly abide in the Lord every day and our love wax cold. There's no way. as sweet as he is, as wonderful as he is, hey, we'll still be bad days. But buddy, when we're walking with him, man, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world when we're walking with him and when we're not. Amen. How many of you have had days where you were, when you weren't walking with him? I have. And I'm telling you, I've had worse days when I was walking with him that was better than those better days when I wasn't walking with him. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. What have we said so far? Rejoice. What was the next one? Request. Rely. Now watch this. This is so simple. I started not to even preach it tonight, and I just couldn't get by it. I couldn't get by it. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is, say the next word,
profitable.
What's it profitable for? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, I said if we're going to abide in the branch every single day, we're going to have to rejoice, we're going to have to make our requests made, we're going to have to pray, we're going to have to rely on God. Now watch this, this is real simple. We're going to have to read. We're going to have to read. Somebody told me one time, said, "Preacher, I'm just such a horrible reader." I said, "Well, the more you read, the better you'll get." Here's what I told them to do. I said, "Why don't you do this? Why don't you go get you a set of those CDs by Alexander Scorby, and you read along the Bible as the Bible's on that CD. You read along the Bible with him. You'll learn how to pronounce those words, and it'll make it easier to understand. You're hearing it, and you're seeing it, and you'll retain it." I tell you something I found a while back. And I was in a rush. If I ever see another one, I'll get it. They got the Bible on CD now. It's James Earl Jones, the Lion King, reading the King James Bible from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the book of Revelation. That's pretty cool. Yeah, man. I listened to James Earl Jones read the Bible. Amen. Mufasa. He just got that voice. I wish Sean Connery was saved and would make a set of CDs. Amen. In the beginning, God. That'd be cool. Amen. But listen, if you're having trouble, hey, God has provided so many things for us to make it easier for us to read and understand His Word. Amen. You say, "Preacher, can it be that simple? I read the Bible and I don't get nothing." Oh, you don't think you are. You don't think you are. It's like eating vegetables when you're kids. You don't think you're getting anything good, but you are. You're getting something that'll help you grow. Amen. My wife got on me pretty hard here a few weeks ago. I've been sickly for months. I mean, just sickly. And she said, "I'm going to tell you one of your problems." She said, "You don't eat right." She said, "You stop by the convenience store, and don't you say a word, Brother Chris, and you grab a Coke and a pack of crackers, and you say you take every day. Every day I'm having to eat this stuff. And them holistic pills, it ain't like Tylenol, take two. No, you got to eat some of them things a day." But guess what? I feel better. This is the best voice I've had in weeks. You know what it came after? Putting the right stuff in my body. Are we okay? You'll do better abiding in Christ. How can we abide in Him if we don't read His Word? I got to reading over that thing today. I remember as a young preacher, and I'd read the verse before, but after I was called to preach, I read this verse, and here's the way I took it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now watch this. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know what I thought that meant? I get to take that Bible and wear you out with it. To reprove and rebuke. And it hit me today. That's for me. That's for my reproof. And that's for my rebuke. You ever read your Bible and have the Lord wear you out? I get to those passages of Scriptures and I'm like, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. I didn't want that, but I needed that." Our lives get such out of whack and out of line because we hadn't been reproved. Amen. And because we hadn't been rebuked. But stay with me a minute. If you did not tell your children what to do, you think they'd do it? You know, I'm talking about your small children. If you didn't tell them what to do, if you didn't tell your boys to clean their room, do you think they'd do it? And if you told them to do it and they didn't do it, and you didn't rebuke them, do you think it'd ever get done? I think boys ought to have to clean their room, by the way. My mother made me make my bed and inspect it like it was in the army. Then she looked under it. That's how I cleaned my room. And she knew it, amen. She knew where I hid the peanut butter jelly sandwiches and the tater chips and all that stuff. Hey, listen, I don't care how godly you think you are. We need the reproof. And we need the rebuke. We need the correction. And we need the instruction. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a know-it-all preacher who can't be told anything. I don't care how much Bible you know. We're not above reproof. We're not above rebuke. And where we get the best rebuke, I don't mind when a preacher peels my hide. I don't mind it at all. Matter of fact, some of the guys I listen to going down the road are pretty rough because I need pretty rough preaching. But the greatest rebuke I ever get is from that book right there. When the Lord says, just like today, when the Lord said, that's for you, bud. That's for you. When you read my word, I know the Holy Spirit can convict you and wear you out. But there's something about when that Holy Spirit and that book get together. If you don't read your Bible, you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But there's something when you're reading that Bible and you're reading that Word of God and the Holy Spirit says, bang, 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 bang. And you want to skip that place many times and said, God, I'm sorry. Amen. If you go without reading, your life gets out of control. We never reach adulthood in Christ. We're still children. Did you know He never calls us adults? Not one time does He call us adults. It's always children. And I believe He's exactly right because I know some adult Christians who act too. Amen. We need to read Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 4. Romans 15 and verse number 4. We won't be much longer. I'm talking about abiding in Him. Abiding in Him. Staying in Jesus every single day of our life. Let me tell you something. It's work. Was it okay to say that? It's work. Man, this flesh don't like it. This flesh would rather pick up the Working Horse magazine. This flesh would rather pick up the BASS. Or the deer hunting, Georgia Sportsman. Something my flesh loves. Which ain't nothing wrong with narrow one of them things. But if I read that more than I read this, I got a problem. I got a problem. I sat on the I get the Western Horseman magazine in the mail. My daughter renews my prescription. What do you call that? Subscription. It ain't a prescription, amen. This is a prescription right here, amen. She renews that thing. And one day I got that thing in the mail and it laid on the kitchen table and I was flying out somewhere on Monday and I was going somewhere. It was a pretty long flight. And the plane landed on the plane I had read every article in that magazine. And I didn't think much about it. I started putting it in the backpack. And the Lord said, That's funny. When's the last time you was that hungry? Amen. That you couldn't wait to turn the page and see what was next? Amen. We okay?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is one of the hardest things in your life. Requesting the prayer in this reading, those two areas in your life are the ones you'll work the hardest to see to it every day. You'll work the hardest. You know why? Because time did not say, Brother Eddie, could you send me some advice or call me and give me some advice? Here's what he said. Preacher, could you send me some scripture to help my family? I thought, that's the right request. Thank God he's looking in the right place. You can ask my opinion and my advice. I might tell you the wrong thing. Amen. But this book will never steer you wrong. Amen. In this book, man, I find hope and I find comfort every single day of my life. You say, preacher, what do I do when I've read it all? Read it again. I promise you, you'll get something different every single time. How many of you, and don't be embarrassed if you hadn't, but how many of you have read the Bible all the way through it? That's good many. Praise the Lord. Now listen. How many of you ever hear a preacher get up and preach and he hits that scripture that you've read over and over and you go, whoa. It's a bottomless well. It's a bottomless well. Brother Randy Pike, one of this earth, I'll never forget him sitting right there. The older I get is how little I know. This Bible will reprove, rebuke, and instruct you and comfort you every day of your life. Now, how do we abide? Number one, rejoice. Number two, request. Number three, rely. Number four, read. This is God's love letter to us. This is God's word to us. I guarantee you, now listen, you look up here at me, I promise you, I know you're sitting in church and you probably got your phone on vibrate. It's so important that you can't cut it off. You probably, mine, I only brought it in here because I had some text from Brother Warren that he needed to put on the prayer sheet tonight. I rarely bring my phone in this sanctuary. But if your phone buzzed in your purse or on your side right now, you'd probably look at it. Being honest. I'm just being honest. And if I were sitting where you were, I'd probably do the same thing. We get a text. Now my phone, if you get a text and don't read it, it makes the little noise again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It makes that little noise again. Well, here's your little noise again for the text God sent you. We'll get that phone, hold that thing down by our side. I'm trying to break the habit of reading them going down the road. I have a hard enough time looking where I'm going anyway. I'm looking out in the pastures and the fields and barns and seeing what I might see. You never know what you'll miss, man. There ain't nothing in front of you but pavement, man. Look around. I'm kidding. My wife throws a fit. I'm going down the road and somebody will text me and, boy, I got my knee because I don't know how them kids do it. It takes me 30 minutes to try to text something. And just, I can't get them thumbs going. It takes both hands. Amen. She said, she grabbed that phone out of my hand. She said, you're going to get killed and take me with you. Well, somebody sends you a text, you feel like you got to have that thing immediately. God sent us a big one, man. And we won't even read it. We won't even read it. I talked to a guy the other day. I said, man, I've sent you 3 texts and left you 2 voicemails. Well, I've been busy. I said, you could have texted back and said, I'm busy. I said, it's funny when you want me. I wonder if God feels that way. I wonder if God says, I sent you a voicemail Sunday morning, I sent you another. Boy, I got a voicemail from him Sunday night. If you was in that service and didn't get a voicemail, I got a voicemail Sunday night. From the preaching is what I'm talking about. The Lord's sending you a voicemail tonight. I wonder if he's not saying, I sent you text and I sent you voicemail, but when you need me, you expect me to be right there. Amen. We need to rejoice. We need to request. We need to rely. We need to read. Look at Psalms chapter 119. I'm almost done. I'm talking about abiding in him every day. Some things we need to put into practice in our life and make a habit of. Make a habit of every day. I know this ain't normal Sunday morning stuff, but this is important. It's important. There's things, it don't just happen. You do not become a mature Christian by mistake. You don't become a daily Bible reader or what we would call a prayer warrior by mistake. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know how to pray. You say, well, how do you pray? You can't teach it. It's just learning to talk to somebody. You remember on your first date? It was awkward. Because you didn't really know each other that well. Together, but you didn't know each other that well. It's not awkward anymore. I don't have a bit of trouble talking to my wife because I talk to her all the time. I'm going to go get her supper here in a little bit and take it down to the hospital. Talk to her a minute before I go home. I don't have a bit of trouble talking to her. Why? Because I've been doing it for 31 years. I don't have a bit of trouble talking to God. I don't do well praying publicly. There's some people, if Brother J.M. Brooks and Brother J. Bice, both of them are in heaven. I wonder sometimes, Brother Freddie, if the Lord doesn't say, hey, I know it doesn't matter anymore, but I sure would like to hear you pray. Brother Jay had preached while he prayed, wouldn't he? Yeah, right. Brother J.M. both. Boy, you're afraid to open your eyes, man. J.M. knew how to talk to God. And I believe God knew how to talk to J.M. Amen? What a blessing. We need to pray. We need to rely. We need to read. Now watch Psalms 119 and verse number 11. He said, thy word have I hidden that I might be. And I thought I could in our heart when we read it. But here's the word. We need to remember. We need to remember. You say, I'm not good at memorizing scripture. Don't fool yourself. I bet you know phone numbers. Well, I know not with cell phones anymore. Man, I couldn't tell you how many numbers, passwords, social security numbers, birthdays, things that you can just, you know what I'm saying? You've committed it to memory. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. I've put it somewhere. And if you'll read this book, you'll be amazing what God can pull up when it needs to be. Sometimes he'll pull that scripture up. We don't even know we know it. He'll pull that scripture up that we might help somebody else. But sometimes he'll pull it up when I'm all by myself. Sometimes watching that TV, that scripture will pop in my head. I'll set no unclean thing before mine eyes. I said, okay, all right. I'm going to turn that right quick. Amen. Y'all all right? You know why that does that? Because it's in here. Because it's in here. We need to remember. Look at the same chapter. Go up to verse number 16. Verse number 16, Psalms 119. He said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Watch this last little phrase. I will not, say the word, forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. We talk about Simon Peter, and after Jesus was crucified, and Simon said, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples said, we go also with thee. You know what he had done? He had forgot his word. He had forgot his word. Because there was a day when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible said he forsook his net. I wonder how many times we forgot God's word. We get in one of those situations where we feel like we're all by ourselves and we're in a storm, we're in a battle, and we don't know which way to turn, we don't know which way to go. We forgot what God said. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even on the end of the world. Amen. We forget what He said. We need to remember. Lastly, and I'm done, Psalms, still in Psalms 119. Look at verse 97. Psalms 119 and verse 97. I'm going to read about two or three verses right here. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law." By the way, can anybody tell me what the main subject of Psalms 119 is? I'd say it's the Word of God, wouldn't you? Over and over, thy law, thy word, thy statutes. I mean, it's there over and over. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." Who's he talking about? His enemies. "Have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." Listen, I said we need, if we're going to abide in Him, we need to rejoice. We need to request. We need to rely. We need to read. We need to remember. Now listen, we need to reflect. We need to reflect on God's Word. We need to remember and reflect on what God has already done and what God has already said. Have you ever reminded God of something He said? Even in your prayer, "Lord, You said. Lord, You said." Go to the Christian bookstore. Make sure you get the King James one. But get that little "God's Promise for Every Need." Get that thing, man. Commit them things to your heart and reflect on them day in and day out. You know what's got me through more bad stuff than anything else? Reflections with all manner of questions. And He's one of those guys, He knew the book. He knew the book. He never said, "Let me get back to you on that." And He never gave His opinion. He never said a word. These people would call in with questions, you know, if a Christian commits suicide, are they in heaven or are they in hell? If a baby dies, where does it go? And, you know, just all those stupid questions. Where'd Cain get his wife and all this stuff? And they'd come up with all these crazy questions. He'd say, "Well, the Bible says." And he'd turn and give them Scripture. "Well, the Bible says." "The Bible says." You know what that's saying? This is the answer. And it takes priority and precedence over everything else. It doesn't matter what Trump says. Doesn't matter what Hillary says. Or that idiot Bernie Sanders says. They're all a bunch of idiots in my opinion, amen. It doesn't matter what they say to man. Y'all okay? Oh, I've called one of your heroes an idiot. Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm going to vote, friend. And I'm going to vote my convictions. Somebody said, "Oh, you can't go vote for so-and-so, they can't win." I ain't voting for somebody I don't halfway believe in. Amen. But my hope's not in them. Amen. I don't believe man will fix this country. I don't believe man will fix our situation. But I believe what this book says. If my people, which are called by my name, what's his Bible? Amen. Has your love for God waxed cold? You can be a faithful church member and have a cold heart. You can. I believe that's how church splits. I believe that's how arguments and fights and battles and all that stuff starts. Our heart for God waxes cold, and we think more about ourselves than we do anything else. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. "Abide in me," he said, "and I in you. And ye shall bring forth much fruit." That fruit's not just souls, but it'll be part of it. But it'll be the fruits of the Spirit. It'll be peace, joy, love, kindness, all those. Galatians chapter 5. It'll produce those things if we'll abide in Him. Rejoice, request, rely, read, remember, and reflect. That's six things that if we do every day, I promise you it'll make a difference in your life. I promise you. I've given challenges before. I told the church one time, and while I preached that message, y'all remember about Israel and Jacob? Anybody remember that? I talked about if you had two dogs in a fight, if you had a Chihuahua and a Rottweiler, which one would win? Everybody said the Rottweiler. I said, well, feed the Chihuahua every day for 3 weeks and starve the Rottweiler. The one that's going to win is the one you feed the most. And I used to give a challenge all the time. For one solid week, cut your television off. For one solid week, cut your worldly music off. You ought to cut that off forever. Amen. And for one solid week, listen to good godly music, listen to preaching, and read your Bible. I'm talking about for all your daily reading, all your daily entertainment, whatever, and you watch the difference in your heart at the end of the week. It makes a world of difference. Let's stand our feet. I want to be able to say, I love my master, but I want my master to be able to say, my child loves me. Amen. I had to go over to Brother Todd's and Sister Ashley's day before yesterday and fixed their dishwasher. And I walked in the door and Caroline come flying across the living room and grabbed me and just loving on me. That baby could never say, Papa, I love you again. But her actions, there's no doubt in my mind, she loves me. It's not what so much what she says, it's what she does. Amen. See her little face light up when I show up. Wonder how long it's been since your face lit up when the Lord showed up in a service like we had Sunday night. But that was good. I mean, we'd have missed something, but we could have dismissed after the singing and said, man, that was good. It was good. Let's try our best to abide in Him. Come get you a prayer sheet. Pray till you get through praying. You get done praying, you're dismissed. I love you guys. Appreciate you being in church on a Wednesday night. We first got here, it didn't look like nobody was going to be here. And then all of a sudden, it just about filled up. Hey, if you're not going on the trip this weekend, be praying for all those that are. Got about 150 people be traveling Friday morning, so please pray. Pray for our buses, and if they won't break down, and pray for the other idiots on the road.